The following is a King's Chapel, Alaska presentation with Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion's making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's call and help us be the personal, powerful, permeating church God's called us to be. For more information, visit kcalaska.com or find us on Facebook. Here's Pastor Daniel.
A series called The Mantle. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Reading from the New King James, are you ready? A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. And he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere and from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. And then they came in and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour into those vessels, set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her, and her sons brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass, I want you to say that, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there's not another vessel. So the oil ceased. And she came and told the man of God and said, and he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons live on the rest. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do, what you did in the first service, what you're going to do now in the second. Lord, bring your unction, bring your anointing, your enablement. Lord, to give us all ears to hear and hearts to respond. And may we never be the same, God, because your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, living and active. Holy Spirit, come. Come on, if you have the freedom to pray in your heavenly language, boldly pray in the Spirit right now. God, I may thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. If you read Matthew 9, you find a story of two blind men that come in contact with our Master, our Savior, our hero, Jesus. And Jesus, in the midst of that interaction, says to them, as they're believing to be healed of their blindness, he says, according to your faith may be done unto you. I want you to say that. According to your faith may be done unto you. Don't really like that scripture too much because it puts some responsibility on moi. Puts responsibility on us. That actually our faith can determine how we can move forward in life. So, in other words, our unbelief can hinder us and hold us back. Now we've been preaching a series on the mantle. Let me say before I review that, when you have a need that you're believing for the Lord to meet, do you believe that he can meet the need? Well, sometimes I do, and sometimes I help my unbelief, right? We've been preaching a series on the mantle. The mantle is first mentioned with our great towering Old Testament prophet Elijah, who wipes out the prophets of Baal. Jezebel, with all her makeup, comes to basically say, I'm going to kill you. And he runs away, and he ends up at Mount Horeb in the cleft of the rock. I believe it to be the same cleft of the rock that Moses was in. And here's the cleft of the rock that he's in now. We don't know that for sure. Rabbinic scholars have read, said that it was, that they had the scrolls. He knew where the cleft of the rock was for Moses. It would make sense that he would run to the same place. But anyway, he's in the cleft of the rock, and God comes with fire, and the Lord is not in the fire, and he comes in the wind, and he's not in the winds. And then he comes with a still small voice and says, dude, what are you doing here? You know, he didn't say dude, but you know what I'm saying. He says, what are you doing here? And that is the first time we see the word mantle, that Elijah put his face, hid his face in his mantle, because anyone who sees the Lord cannot live. Only dead men can see the glory. Hint, hint. And so he hides his face in his mantle. God speaks to him and says, go anoint so-and-so as king. Go anoint Elisha in your stead. In other words, you're just about done with your duties. You've got the next generations coming along. Go anoint him. He's going to be the prophet after you're gone. and go anoint Jehu. And Jehu's going to kill Jezebel. In other words, whoever the king doesn't wipe out, then I'm going to take care of whoever, you know, whoever the king doesn't wipe out, then Elisha's going to take care of who Elisha doesn't take care of, Jehu's going to take care of. I'm going to take care of it. You're not alone. There's 7,000 more. And we see this picture of the mantle being a picture of the anointing, a picture of the power of God, a picture of the call of God. And in context, it's a picture of the prophet. It's the clothing of a prophet. And you'll see from that point on that prophets would wear this coat of hair called a mantle. And even John the Baptist, as we've spoke about in other messages, had a camel's coat of hair, 8 locusts. Some say that his father, who worked in the temple, got that from this golden box. And we don't know for sure whether it was really the mantle of Elisha or not. But the picture of the mantle is a picture of identity, a picture of the power of God. It's a picture of thus far in our series, passing it to the next generation. And we need to do that. We need to see the next generation raised up and released in ministry. And I'm so thankful for our youth. I'm thankful for our children. I'm thankful for what God is doing. He's using them. He's speaking through them. And it brings us to our message today. And if you look at your notes, faith on our part releases the power of God. And if you can grasp this morning the reality that God's power is able to meet your need, that there is no need, no need that you have in your life that God can't meet it. And so let's look at our text here. A widow of a prophet has a need. She's got some creditors coming. She cries out to Elisha. And she reminds Elisha that her husband served the Lord. In fact, the text says, "You know that my husband served the Lord and feared the Lord." So there's a relationship that the man of God, Elisha, now walking in the double portion of Elijah. Elijah's gone up in a whirlwind. Elisha has the mantle of Elijah. It says, "You know that he feared the Lord." It's a picture of fellowship. It's a picture of the fact that he was known. He was a righteous man. He wasn't a fool. He wasn't a sinner. He was somebody who feared the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We also know from the text that he had a debt, and creditors are coming to enslave her sons. That's a problem. I don't know if you ever had creditors. Don't raise your hand. I don't know if you ever had creditors coming after you, but I mean, it can be pretty difficult, right? Yeah. You don't want to answer the phone. Hello? Yeah. In this case, in ancient times, they would come and take your kids. There's no chapter 11 here. Actually, they look at, she's going to lose her children. And what could be more precious to a widow than her sons? And so really, it's a picture of life almost ending for her. I mean, she needs God to break through and intervene. And you know, when I first read this, I thought, what a contradiction, what an oxymoron, a man who feared the Lord, but he has this mega debt. And then I was reminded about how I got myself in trouble and had some mega debt, but I feared the Lord. I thought, oops, I guess I shouldn't be so critical. But aren't we critical sometimes? Here I'm critical of the guy here who's got a debt problem. I think he's a man of God, but he has his debt and he's losing his family. I mean, he didn't keep his family in order. I mean, come on, a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says, right? So it says that he's righteous, but then he says he's in debt to the point of actually now he's passed and gone on, and his family's being wiped out because of whatever actions he took. Then I began to study a little bit, and it could have been that actually he was impoverished because of Jezebel. Ooh. And Lord knows. And anybody made a mistake besides me? I ended up in big debt. God helped me, began to live according to the principles of the Word of God. And over time, God did a major breakthrough for me and made me debt-free. Hallelujah. Except for some mortgage I've got on my house. But I mean, God has done a great thing for me. Amen. And he'll do it for you. So this lady's in trouble. And she cries out to the prophet. And Elijah doesn't criticize her. And really, we shouldn't criticize others either, no matter what problem you're going through. It's interesting that Jesus never made fun of anybody for having a demon. So the woman has a demon, and he didn't like it. Hey, get a hold of the side of the, look at her, man, she's demonized. Oh, you're messed up. You must have been. He doesn't do any of that. He just casts the devil out. And the Elijah here doesn't say, you know, you fool. Doesn't criticize her. Just asks her, you know, what do you have in your house? Look at your notes. See, what do you have in your house? And he gives her specific instructions. She says, I just have a little bit of oil. And what we begin to see is this multiplication that takes place for this widow. And I've entitled the message, Multiplied According to Your Faith. The word of the Lord for us in 2014 for King's Cathedral and Chapels is multiply. Everybody say 1, 2, 3, multiply. Now here's the thing, God wants to multiply you, God wants to multiply your favor, God wants to multiply your influence, God wants to multiply your finances, God wants to multiply the gospel, God wants to multiply the harvest, come on, God wants to multiply the church. In fact, the whole, one of the very principles of the kingdom of God is it's constantly multiplying. It's as small as a mustard seed, but it becomes a tree. That is just part of the principle of the kingdom. It's ever growing, ever multiplying, is the way it is. And so we're going to multiply, and God multiplied this lady. And from this, we're going to see some principles by how we can multiply, but it is according to your faith. Oh, I don't like that part. I want them to just go, bam. You know, like, poof. And then you're all hooked up. And I'm thankful for the sovereignty of God and how he does do that sometimes. But I've found more often than not is that God wants to partner with us. God wants us to be a part of the miracle. It's amazing to me. It's amazing. So Elisha says, well, what do you have in your house? And he gives her, she says, I have a little bit of oil. And you see this multiplication begin to take place. He gives her specific instructions. Everybody say specific instructions. Collect some empty jars. She was going to have her sons go do that. Don't just ask for a few. In other words, get a whole mess of them. How many got a mess of jars in your house? All you canners, where you at? All right. Shut the door. Everybody say, shut the door. It's a picture of prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, go shut the door. Your Father who hears what you pray in secret will openly reward you. It's also a picture of the fact that if you have to shut the door behind you in your prayer closet, which means you're probably praying out loud because prayer is mostly out loud. It is meditative at times, but anyway, she goes and shuts the door. Picture of prayer. Picture of the fact that God didn't want any interruption. Some of you are in the midst of a miracle, but you're so interrupted by your smartphone that ain't all that smart. Smile at me. Come on, we have created ADD through smartphones and through Facebook and Instagram and so on and so forth. And God wants to speak to you, be like, what? Huh? Lord? Wait a second. I mean, it's just like, I wonder why a generation can't concentrate. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. God says, shut the door. Everybody say, shut the door. And pour oil into these jars. And, you know, perhaps she knew the story of the oil and the meal. Maybe she knew about the testimony that took place previously with the other prophet, right? We don't know for sure. But she obeyed. Everybody say she obeyed. She obeyed, and the oil stopped when all the jars were filled. Now, here's the thing that just is messing me up. God makes her an oil, gives her an oil well in the middle of her house as she obeys. And when she's out of jars, the oil ceases. So can you imagine if she just got some more jars? God's speaking to us this morning. Now, Elijah tells her to continue. She has all the oil. She uses whatever she needs for her house. And then she sells the rest and makes all her money and pays her. How many think that's a pretty good plan? Pays all her debts and she doesn't have to give up her kids. God's speaking to us this morning. He really is. He's speaking to us a number of ways, individually. We really have to come to understand the wonder and the joy of our relationship with God. That God made us in his image, made us in his likeness, and wants to, we're co-heirs with Christ, and we're supposed to co-labor with him. And what God wants to do is he wants to multiply you. He wants to increase you. He wants to do that in the church. He wants to do that in the body of Christ. But we have to do our job. We have to do our part. Now, first of all, it says that you know, your servant, my husband, feared the Lord. It's a picture of being right with God. You have to be right with God. The very first step, you want to increase, you want God to use you, you want a blessed life, you want the favor of God. The first thing you got to do is you got to get right with Jesus. He doesn't just bless you because you look pretty or handsome or something. She turned to Elijah, and he represented the Lord, and she cried out to him. And I will tell you that the beginning of your miracle comes when you begin to cry out to God. We come to the Lord. Here's the blanks for you. We come to the Lord and must realize the wonder of our relationship with him. The awesome, almighty God wants to meet your need, but you got to come to him. And the provision came as they obeyed the word of the Lord. There's certain things, like I said, that we have to do and that God won't do. God will not do your part. And we can't do his, but as we do our part, he does his and does a miracle. So for them, I mean, they had to go out and get the jars. And at times we're so stubborn. The oil flowed to the limit that they placed on God. What do you mean by that? Well, just imagine this way. Imagine, okay, they get the word from the prophet. Mom says, okay, boys, come here. Go get some jars from all the neighbors. First of all, they couldn't get jars from the neighbors if they were jerks. You see, but they weren't jerks because they feared the Lord. People who fear the Lord aren't jerks, right? Usually. But they had relationship with people. There's a relational wealth. And a friend of mine, Gary Brothers, wrote a book called Borrowed Vessels. And it is a powerful book. You can get it on Amazon. I mean, about relational wealth and how God will use relationships to expand his kingdom. Now, some people are like, man, I don't even want to be in a relationship with people. I don't like people. I just want them to get away from me. Well, you're missing out. Sure, people will cause you pain, but that's so that you can learn to be more like Jesus and you can reach out to help them. Amen. Right? So they get the word from the prophet, they obey, and really the degree that they obeyed, the degree they were able to get vessels or jars was the degree of the increase that they had. Can you imagine if the boys went out, mama sent them out, and the boys just went, you know what? Let's not go all the way down the block. I mean, give me a break. We want to get back and play our Xbox 360. Let's just go to a few houses. You're not going to know the difference, really. What if they did that? We don't know how many jars that they got. We don't know how diligent these IG student ministries guys were when they went out to go get the jars. But to the degree that they pressed out to get the jars was the degree of the miracle that they got. It reminds me of Peter in the New Testament. Jesus says, well, they fished all night, got nothing. The King of Kings shows up in flesh and says, hey, Peter, go throw your net to the other side. Let down your nets. Book of Luke says, let down your nets for a catch. And Peter says, we fished all night. Nevertheless, O Rabbi, we'll do it. But he doesn't let down nets. He lets down a net, one net. That one net gets so filled with fish that the boat begins to sink and they call for help. What if he let down two nets? He let down a net, it says. Listen, God wants to use us, but sometimes we're so limited on the way that we think that God can use us. We think, well, it's got to be this particular way. Or, you know, if the fish jumps out of the fish tank, does a triple gainer and lands without any splash, then I'll know. You know, that's my fleece. The goldfish comes out and comes back and lands without a splash. Then I'll know. No, God's speaking to you. God's speaking to us today. You got to do your part. What does that look like? Look, that could be getting involved in a small group. That could be being involved in ministry or showing up as an usher or a greeter. It could be giving something away at home or doing something at the job or starting a business. Or buying, or stretching to buy a piece of property or land. Just believe in God. The enemy, I've found, attacks us in our lives so that we don't do the thing that'll bring about our deliverance. We don't do the very thing. You know, it boils down to us putting limits on it. So he says to you, go get some jars. Go to EMP. Go to early morning prayer. I don't want to go to early morning prayer. I need my beauty sleep. It's not working really all that good. Prayer would work better. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. We put limits on God. Can God use you? Can God flow through you? You got to fix it in your heart today. Settle it in your mind that God wants to multiply you. He wants to increase you in your life and your family. He wants to bless you. But you've got to step up. You've got to do your part. And when you do your part, it allows for a release of miracle power. Multiplied according to your faith. Well, God will use and multiply what you've given him. And if you never give him anything, it's hard for him to get to work with something. How do you work with something that's nothing? Isn't it amazing? So he says about the tithe, return to me the tithe, and I'll throw open windows of heaven. But so many people are like, no, I'm just not willing to do that. Lord, you can just throw open the windows and hook me up without that. Who made you Lord and Savior? I mean, give me a break. You've got to participate. God has principles. He has a way of, you know, people want to get saved, but they don't want to repent. They want revival, but they don't want to pray. They want an outpouring of the Spirit, but not tongues, not that kind. We want revival, but, you know, not like that. I've shared the story of these two ladies in Northern California praying for a revival. Power of God hits the church. People getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. All kinds of hippies getting saved. People coming to the Lord. Place blows up. And they stop going to church. They're so bent out of shape. The pastor visits them and says, well, what's the matter? We prayed for a revival, not this mess. It's just not, we don't even have our seats anymore. We can't find parking anymore. And that tongues is of the devil. Crazy. We got a picture of how God's supposed to move, and then he moves differently, and we think, well, Lord, that must be Satan or something. It's crazy. People want a revival, but they don't want it like that. That's like saying, that's like somebody inviting me over your house. Pastor, would you come, but don't bring your wife? You know? That's like saying, God, we want revival, but not that kind. Not the Holy Ghost kind. No tongues. That's weird. Now, what's weird is an intellectual gospel. What's weird is a gospel that has no power. What's weird is when people don't get excited, shout and clap and run around the buildings and wave banners maybe or just get excited about the fact that they're born again and they're on their way to heaven. What's weird is a sedated, apathetic church. That is the Western church, basically prayerless, effortless. Preach me a message that makes me come, you know, it's too cold, it's too hot, it's too loud, you know, the seats are, come on, I just want to be comfortable. I've had people say, you know something, I didn't go to church there because I wasn't comfortable. If comfort is your God comfort, you'll never see multiplication. You'll never see a miracle, ever. Some of the greatest releases of God's power in my life have come because I just said, oh, God, okay, fine, I'll do it. And I start moving, and then bam, he moves. I'll give it, and boom. I heard a great testimony about yesterday. One of our leaders in Honolulu, God spoke to him to give this exorbitant amount in our victory offering. And, you know, he calls his wife and says, God told me to do such and such. She says, ha, 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 ha. Well, I guess we're not going to be paying some bills. But if it's the Lord, honey, we'll do it. And so they did it. They dropped that thing in the offering, and later on in the service, somebody walked up to an old friend of his who had this funny grin on his face, and he smiled. Nobody knew what he did. Nobody knew. Walked up to him and handed him a check for the exact amount that he dropped in the offering. I'm going to tell you something. God can do stuff for you. God wants to do miracles for you. Don't put a limit on God. Can you say amen? Who knows? Who knows what he'll do through you? You know, you think about Roger Bannister, who was the first guy to break the 4-minute mile. And they say it couldn't be done. They said anatomically, it is impossible to break the 4-minute mile. How many of you know this story? This is history. It is impossible for a man to run under 4 minutes a mile. Well, how many of you know they were wrong? And Roger Bannister broke that record, and then now everybody breaks it. High schoolers break the 4-minute mile. Amazing. You know, stop putting a limit on God. Stop putting a limit on what he can do, what he can't do. Believe God that he will pour through you, multiply you, but understand it's according to your faith. I shared a story about my dear friend. I've got a number of best friends. Pastor Chris is definitely one of my very best friends. And I got to go over here because I was just like all weepy and sissified. I'm going to go over here. Well, I just get overwhelmed because of what God's done for me. And I told the story about him in the first service. I'll tell it now, and I'll probably tell it in the third. He came to our church when he was 22 years old. 22, still wet behind the ears, came. He was not a worship leader. He came to do the choir. He was reluctant. And Dr. Morocco pushed him, is that right? Encouraged him to, you can go ahead, lead where you can do it. He just didn't want to do it, but he did it out of obedience. He got stretched. He went and got some jars. You know what God has done through him? And he's humble, so, you know, he's probably going to hang his head and wish I didn't say anything, but it just gives glory to God. He's made many CDs. He was on the piano when I got saved, basically. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, he was leading worship. When I got called into ministry, he was leading worship. When I got engaged to my wife, when she got saved, he was leading worship. When she got filled with the Holy Ghost, he was leading worship. When I got engaged, the recording of our second album. We're recording, we got engaged, he was leading worship. Well, all the dedication of my two children, he was leading worship. When my son died, lived for about 15 minutes, he led worship at the funeral. He led worship when I became a pastor. He is leading the worship leader on every major move of God I've ever had in my life. That guy. Now, that's unusual, okay? Not too many pastors or preachers can say that, and actually, we're still on the same team. That's amazing. That's amazing to me. And now, then he's using to do these productions. Last year, we had a man who was at a production in Russia. He was in Russia, saw the production, the birthday of the king in Russia, which he was at and trained them how to do it. He wrote the whole thing. And the guy got saved in Russia. He comes to Alaska. He's in Delta Junction, sees King's Chapel, Delta Junction, comes in, finds our minister Trent at the time, finds him and says, is this the same King's Chapel that did the Birthday of the King production in Russia? And he says, yes. And the guy starts weeping. He says, I got saved. I got saved in Russia. A reluctant 22-year-old will just go, oh, God, I'll try. You know, I mean, really, this is the way it was, right, Pastor Chris? I mean, just go, oh, I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best. Just start getting, look, some of you, God's got miracles for you, but you're lazy. I'm not talking, looking at anybody. You're lazy. You got to get off your blessed assurance, plug in, start serving, start giving, start being a part of it, and God will bring oil. God will bring miracles. Yeah, he will. He'll do it. Come on, he can take you. Been through what you've been through and use you. Good night. Hallelujah. Come on, son. Somebody say hallelujah. God will multiply what you give him. I love that scripture. You know, they try to ensnare our Lord. They try to ensnare the Lord and say, oh, who should get the tax? He says, whose inscription is on the coin? It says Caesar's. He says, give to Caesar what is God's. Whose image is on the coin? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God's what is God's. And really what he is saying is the image of Caesar's on the coin. Will you answer this question for me, please, this morning? Everybody paying attention, those online, those listening by podcast. Whose image are you made in? So whose image are you made in? Whose image is on the coin? Caesar's. Whose image is in you? God. The reasonable thing for us to do is be a living sacrifice to him. And many people don't have breakthrough, don't have multiplication, don't have favor, don't have the blessing of God, don't have the release of the oil, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit also, because they don't fully give their hearts to God. It's some part-time religious thing that they do, and they hope that God's just going to bless it. Well, he isn't. And if he has, it's his favor to pull you closer into him so that you'd really live like a living sacrifice. Bring your vessel to him. Let him multiply you. Look at your notes. We're almost done. We're co-laborers with God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3. God uses us crackpots. We have this treasure in earthen vessels to show the excellency of his glory. So that when somebody sees the power of God flowing through you, they say, there's got to be a God. because I know that crackpot. Come on, everybody, say we're co-laborers with God. He's looking for somebody to flow through. It could be an Elisha. It could be an Elijah. It could be an Elisha. It could be a small group leader, a Pastor Chris. Put your own name in there. Like a widow who lost her husband. There's people who need miracles in this valley. There's people who need miracles in this state. And I'm telling you that God is looking for a vessel to flow through. But if you never plug in, you're not a part of, you don't sacrifice. I mean, something your flesh, I don't know about how it is for you. Maybe you're just super anointed evangelist, but my flesh never wants to witness. Almost never. Almost. There's times where I get overwhelmed and I get a burden. But if, you know, witnessing and sharing my faith, some people think it's just instantaneous. And I think it is like that for some people. But for me, I just have to go, oh man, they're going to hell. Oh Jesus, I'm a watchman on the wall. Oh Lord, if I don't say something, then their blood's on my hand. And now at that point, I'm hemmed in, man. It's time, gotta have to say something. What if they don't like you? They already don't like you. Statistically, only two or three people really like you in the earth anyway. So it's all good. Come on, there's a valley that needs to be reached. There's a state that needs to be impacted. Come on! There's a state that needs, there's a nation that's looking for the body, looking for people who rise that have the oil, the golden oil of Zechariah, through prayer and through intercession, through sacrificing, through their giving of their time and their talent and their treasure. We can see a multiplication. Can you say amen? Come on, stand up on your feet, thrust your hands into the heavens and call on his name. Come on, call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just tell him you're willing. When he speaks to you, don't dismiss it. Begin to respond. Get plugged in. Get involved. Hallelujah. Shalalalamalini. Hallelujah. Come on, ask God. Say, God, use me. You just tell him in your own words, just for a moment. Use me, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. As a church, in conclusion of this message, there's a miracle in this house. That statement comes from Tommy Barnett. I'm gonna tell you, everything that we have need of is right here. Everything you have need of is already in your house. If you got Jesus, if you don't have Jesus, you get him in your house, amen, by repenting, and then you have everything you need. And you begin to cultivate that relationship, and you walk, you stretch, you obey God, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're not right with God today, you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time or make a recommitment. Don't play church. If you're not right with God, you're not really giving him every chamber of your heart, then do it today. Do it right now. If that's you, you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time or make a recommitment to him, just slip your hand up right now. God bless you, sir. Thank you for your honesty. Those online, perhaps, pray this right out loud. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for rising again from the grave for me. Come into my heart. Come into my life and be my Lord. Be my Savior. Make me new. I believe I'm born again because you died on the cross for me and rose again from the grave for me. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me a hunger for your word and use me in the end time harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, touch, fill, break every bondage, break every hindrance, remove the limits, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, if you'd assist me, we're going to go ahead and sow into Russia, into the work that we're doing there over this next week. Please, we covet your prayers. We really covet your prayers. Amen. If you're making out a check, make it out to Casey. Pastor Chris is so thankful for you. I have to walk away from him and not even look at him because I just start crying. I just can't believe what God's done. It's just amazing. It's amazing. It's a good thing to remember. Never forget where you come from. Never forget what God's done. Amnesia for the Christian is a recipe for death. Let me run that through. That's a good tweet somewhere. A Christian who has spiritual amnesia is a recipe for death. Don't ever forget what he's done. Don't ever lose sight of your first love. how thankful you were. Remember when you were saved. Remember when you just were outlandishly crazy in love for him. Come on, get back to that place. Some of you need to return to your first love again. We're going to see a great multiplication, but it's going to be according to our faith. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have an Alaska Fest. Our staff just work themselves to the bone for a week on end. Amen. Yeah, we're recovering, but we're going to keep striking our arrows to the ground. Amen. Why? Because there's a harvest out there. Don't make being comfortable your goal. You will miss God if being comfortable is your goal in your walk with Jesus. Hello. Ushers, would you come? Did you get something from God? Me too. I'm encouraged. Praise God. Pastor Chris. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Pastor Chris and for Unto One Ministries and for Russia and Dr. Morocco and the coming trip. Lord, of the seed that's being sown even now towards reaching that nation, I pray that you would prosper and bless the gift and the giver, multiply it many times over. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, go ahead.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders.
As soon as you give, stand.
You walk upon the
waters,
wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders, and you walk upon the water wherever you would call me.
Holy Spirit,
take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Agree with me for a moment. Father, in your mighty name, we stand before your throne. And we thank you, Lord, that you've caused us to grow exceedingly and multiply here, King's Chapel, Alaska. Lord, we pray now, release the property that we need. Release the property that we need, Lord, to move forward to see a great, great harvest of many thousands and thousands of people. Alaska, hear the word of the Lord. You shall be. United States of America, hear the word of the Lord. You shall be. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, Russia, hear the word of the Lord. You shall be. Amen. Take someone by the hand. Pastor Karen, would you join me? I hope that you got encouraged. Do not miss tonight. Pastor Chris is going to preach and bring it tonight. It's going to be powerful, 6 o'clock. Praise the Lord. Father, bless your people. Cause your face to shine upon them. Lift up your countenance towards them. Be gracious to them. Keep them and give them peace in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you. We hope to see you tonight.
Thanks for listening to King's Chapel, Alaska and Pastor Daniel Bracken. Our passion is making disciples of Jesus Christ who fulfill God's life call and help us to be the personal, powerful, and permeating church God's called us to be. Get in touch with us anytime at 907-357-2065, 907-357-2065, or online at kcalaska.com, kcalaska.com. Friend us on Facebook and follow Pastor Daniel's tweets at Alaska Revival.